I may have moments of unbelief, but I don't let it worry me. It's just a feeling that comes and goes. My head may doubt, but my heart knows. My heart knows Jesus loves me and washed my sins away. I know He will keep me forever. No matter where my head is at, I will not be moved, 'cause my heart knows the truth. Satan will whisper, try to deceive, to make us doubt what we believe. But we know better, we have God's word. It's in my heart, safe and sure. My heart knows Jesus loves me and washed my sins away. I know He will keep me forever. No matter where my head is at, I will not be moved, 'cause my heart knows the truth. Waves of doubt may toss us to and fro. Oh, but we will sail on. This I know. My heart knows Jesus loves me and washed my sins away. I know He will keep me forever. No matter where my head is at, I will not be moved, 'cause my heart knows the truth. Yes, my heart knows the truth.
My heart knows the truth. For those of you who listened to this song, the Battle Hymn of the Republic, the last song we sang, that's a song that was composed and written by the during the Civil War. The Americans, and they used this song as a battle cry while they went into war to free the slaves. How many of you know that? Nobody? Well, I do study history a bit. And I remember when I first went on radio in 2001, I think, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. During the Civil War, they sang that song that was their battle hymn to set physical slaves free I want you to put this song as a theme song to set spiritual slaves free. All people are slaves of Satan. So when you listen to Reaching Out Ministries, we usually start this program with the Battle Hymn of the Republic, which gets a lot of attention sometimes in the letters I get. So it's very interesting. God knows what he's doing. He doesn't make mistakes. And the other day I was listening to a preacher, which I thought was very interesting. And he gave four doctrines of the Bible that the secular world and a lot of the Christians don't like to hear. They don't like to hear these messages. I will give you all four of them, starting from number four. Homosexuality. People don't want to hear a message against homosexuality. Many churches have embraced homosexuality as being good. They were born that way. I was born that way also. I was born a drunk. I was born a fornicator. I was born a homosexual. That's far from my mind, though. I was born all those things. Why? Because I was born in sin. I had to become born again. See, that's what the homosexual needs to understand. If he is born that way, he needs to become born again. That's a no-brainer, right? The next one is, they do not like a message that a man is born in sin. Jesus doesn't send anybody to hell. Everybody's on his way to hell because you're born of the first Adam. And guess what? Jesus, the lifeboat, comes along while that ship is sinking, and the lifeboat is there for you to get on. If you don't, well, then that's your problem. You chose to go down with the ship. And then the second last one, Jesus is the only way. Oh, you hear that you go on YouTube, and let me tell you, the arguments fly. Even in churches, they don't seem to want the fact that there is only one way to God. There may be many ways to Jesus, but there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he says. No man comes to the Father but by me. The only thing that makes you qualified for heaven is the cleansing of the blood, the fountain of blood that was spilled for us to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. And the first one, the most hated subject, which most churches have quit preaching on, is hell. Is there a literal hell? Well, many teach, yeah, hell is there, but it's only going to last for so and so long. Then everybody's going to be destroyed. Forget about that one. You were created in the image of God. You're a God kind. Whether you like it or not, you're going to last for the rest of eternity because the Spirit of the living God has been breathed into you. And that Spirit is for eternity and never goes away. So whatever they teach over the internet, and I have a feeling there's going to be people pushing homosexuality, many ways to heaven. Man is essentially good. Yeah, get married and you'll find out how essentially good we all are. After a while, the wolf teeth start to show. Now, don't give me this pious look, everybody. We all experience it, how nice we are. And then hell. Hell is definitely for sure. As you get older, you get nicer to your spouse. Don't get me wrong. Hell is definitely for sure. That's one thing you cannot escape. Is it real? Today I'll teach on this subject. Is hell real? Have people gone to hell? Yes, they have. In the Bible, you can see it all the time. when you read it through. How long is hell? It's for eternity, like I said. Are there flames in hell? Yes, there's records of heat and torment. No water, no good air, none of these things. Everything in hell is where God isn't, is what God isn't. If you look at the beautiful creation, everything was made by God. The absence of God is hell. So this is what those people who reject him will experience. And let me tell you, sometimes I think of the earth worshipers. They're going to have an incredibly hot surprise when they find out what they worshipped is going to be withdrawn from them. They'll never, ever experience it in the rest of their eternities. What a letdown. Unbelievable. But that's what's going to happen to millions of people. They will find out what it means to be in the absence of God and the Holy Spirit. So before I get into this message today, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. Lord God, you have blessed us with incredible things. And we thank you, O God. Help us to be more thankful because, Lord, you wish the best for us. You have created us and you want us to enjoy ourselves in you. So thank you, Lord, that you'll open our hearts and minds to this message today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Well, we need to understand one thing. When a person is sent into the lake of fire, God will wipe away his tears because he created that person. He was the designer, and he will have to send his own creation into the eternal lake of fire, and he will forget them. Why the rich man has no name is very, very interesting if you study it. The rich man had no name because to God he didn't count anymore. He was just called the rich man. And God has chosen, once they're there, he's going to forget them for the rest of eternity, and he'll wipe the tears from his eyes and say, enough. I've suffered enough for you. Now I'm going to forget you. And then those people who are sent there will experience a hopeless and purposeless eternity. That's the worst part of hell. Knowing for a fact that you're never, ever going to be escaping that place. And there is proof of that in Scripture. In Luke chapter 12, in verse 1, Jesus is talking to his disciples. I say unto you, my friends, remember he calls them friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that they have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you, you shall fear him. Fear him which has, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. You go on the internet and you'll find out that people think it's Satan that kills you and throws you into hell. That is not true. Satan doesn't send nobody to hell. He may entice you to go there, but he hasn't got the power to do anything. The only thing he has is lies whispering into your ear until he has you in there by his lies and deceptions. I'll tell you how deadly it can be. How many of you have heard of Karl Marx? Ever read the book on how he came into being? He knew God. There was a time in his life when he supposedly worshiped God. But then he turned against God. And he said, I read the book. It was written by Richard Wurmbrand, the book. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Karl Marx said, I would rather go to hell any time than go into heaven with God. This is a hatred for God beyond my understanding. And this is what all this socialism, this mess thing, and this all over the world vaccination thing, communism, that's where it's all leaning to, towards Karl Marx's teachings. If you really study what's going on underneath, people's eyes will open to the fact that Satan wants to enslave each and every one of us by his incredible deceptions. So God is saying, be careful. There's one to worry about, and that is the one that can kill you and throw you into hell. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 29, and if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members shall perish, and not that thy whole body shall be cast into hell. That's how serious Jesus took it. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. So Jesus is basically saying it is better that you have one eye missing or one hand missing or both hands missing. Rip them off if they're going to keep you from going to hell. So he's giving you an idea, not that he wants you to rip off your arms and pluck out your eyes. What he's trying to tell you, how serious the situation is. You need to take caution. You need to take that to heart. God is not mocked when he promises something or warns something. It will surely come to pass. The social gospel that we have being preached all over the world today, that God is love, he's not going to send anybody into hell. This is a lie from Satan, because the word of God clearly teaches otherwise. Why would God take anybody into hell that hates him? He will do them a favor. I don't want you there because you don't want me. Who wants to go to heaven if he doesn't love God? The Bible teaches us something. Where the tree falls, there it shall lie. Is it to the north or is it to the south? That means simply this. The attitude that you have towards God when you die is the attitude that you're going to have for the rest of eternity. Unbelievable. God seals you in your attitude once he has opened your eyes to the truth of himself. So people need to be very, very careful. Listen to the story of Luke chapter 16, the rich man and the beggar Lazarus. It says, and it came to pass that the beggar died. We all know the story, those of us who read the Bible. And those of you who don't, well, I'm telling you, go read it, find out for yourself, because you need to implant it in your heart. The beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man, listen here, the rich man didn't even have a name, also died and was buried. And he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He was tormented, and seeth Abram afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger into water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in what? In these flames. Literal flames he was feeling. So he was asking for even a drop of water, and that was denied him. For all those of us who read the story know that he had absolutely no chance of escaping. He wanted Abraham to send Lazarus to warn everybody. Even that was denied him. Once you're in hell, you're a man with no name, no remembrance of you. God has forgotten. There was one person in hell that God did remember. Very interesting. When you studied the whole book of Jonah. Jonah, we know, ran away from God. God gave him a command. Go and preach to those people. And he didn't. So he ran from God. Isn't that interesting? God gave him a specific command. And Jonah says, no, God, I'm not going to do it. I hate those guys. I wish you'd kill them. That's the way we think sometimes when we talk about our government, right? Why should we pray for those guys? You kill them, Lord. And today I'll say it again. If they don't repent, kill them. Hallelujah. I don't take that back either. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. He was cast into that ocean, and a fish swallowed him up. Now listen to what he teaches us here. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And he said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. So he was in hell. How long can you live in a fish? A human being can be without oxygen about the most for 2-3 minutes, and then he dies. So he must have died, and he cried out from the belly of hell. Very interesting. And he says, thou heardest my voice. Why did God hear Jonah's voice? Because God knew Jonah, and he had a purpose for him. But he wanted him to experience something that those Ninevites would experience. And he changed his mind, even though reluctantly. He went and preached to them because he saw what was in hell. In Jonah chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. He experienced a forever lostness. Can you imagine that? That must have been the worst experience. Never mind that fish swallowing him. But I was in the bars forever. He was in hell forever. That he couldn't see any way out. And then he cried out to God, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, unto thy holy temple. So God remembered Jonah. Jonah remembered God. The difference between an unbeliever and Jonah is this. Once an unbeliever goes into the lake of fire or into hell, he has no name. God doesn't remember him. So he is forever finished. He cannot escape that place regardless what he tries. He can cry out to God as much as he wants to, but God does not remember him. By the grace of God, Jonah knew God, and God knew Jonah. The rest of the story is very clear. I cannot understand Jonah. One of these days when I get to heaven, I'll ask him, come on. You saw hell. You knew how God was. What was your problem? And he'll say, Dave, for you to think of me like that, you have to walk in my shoes. So be quiet. That's the problem with all of us. We do not understand how it is to walk in another man's shoes. I remember I was in Uganda once, and God spoke to me pretty harshly. There was this lady in a store, and she had just come through the Rwandan genocide. Remember, Sarah, we had over here that give us the testimony, how she came through it. And that lady was a missionary. And I asked her, weren't you afraid that you were going to get killed? There was 1 million people that got slaughtered in 100 days by machetes. People just killing one another. And she simply said this, God had to keep me alive. And right away a religious spirit rose up in me. Who do you think you are that you're going to say, God had to keep me alive? That was a religious spirit. I didn't know I had him. He was hiding there until he proved himself. I got rid of him later. Hallelujah. God showed me how And then I walked out of there, angry a little bit. Who is this lady? And it was God that she would say you had to keep her from getting killed. And then I have heard the Holy Spirit say this: do not judge that woman till you walk in her shoes for 1 mile at least. And then I figured, that's the problem with us. We judge not how things are. We judge how they think, how we think they are. That's the problem with many of us Christians. Let's be careful. God may have a work for somebody. You don't understand it. Wait till God judges him. And then it'll be rightly and truly judged. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. There is this great white throne judgment coming, whether people like it or not. We're forever going in that direction. We cannot stop it. It's coming, and that's it. When will it be? At least 1,000 years from now. I know that because it's after the 1,000-year reign. I hope the rapture is going to be first. We're going to enjoy a nice show on earth and then the 1,000-year period. But will there be a judgment? All people need to understand on this earth, who are on this earth, there is going to be a judgment. Those who die, the moment they're dead, understand that they are going to be judged. Either you were judged at the cross of Christ, or you're going to be judged at the great white throne judgment. It is your pick. What will you choose? Those listening by the internet, you already have the power to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life by simply turning to Jesus for salvation. And that the Bible teaches us, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out, for I am willing that none perish. God is calling our names left and right, and people are rejecting him. It says in Revelation 20, verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, and from whom face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Trudeau, listen to this. You think you're great. You're going to stand before God whether you like or not. Hitler, the despot, who tried to take over the world, he already knows what it tastes like to feel the wrath of God. And it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things that were written in the books, according to their works. If every human being would be judged by their works, as far as their salvation is concerned, we'd all go to hell. This is what it says. And they were judged according to their works out of that book. And what does the book teach? Jesus said, I will not judge you. One who will judge you is Moses. And I was brought this before God. Is Moses going to be the judge? And the Holy Spirit said, no, it's the book that he wrote. The 5 books of Moses, you read through the judgments. If you do not have the blood of Jesus on you, you do not have a prayer. You will be judged according to your works. And if we're going to be judged according to our works, how many of us can say, I'm going to make it? I cannot. I know that for a fact. I know I would be judged and then thrown in there, but something happened. I was judged at the cross. My sins were judged at the cross. The Bible teaches us he became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The righteousness of God is ours. if we are in him, we are the God kind. We are the only creation, the human race, that is the God kind. God said, let us make man in our own image. In the image of God created he them, male and female. You're not one above the other. We're on an even level playing field. We belong to God. We are of his. We are the body. He is the head. So, are we going to be judged? No. Who is going to be judged? All those who reject Jesus. It says the sea gave up the dead, which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead that were in it. In them, we have to remember hell is just a prison where people are kept for the time being till they get thrown into the eternal lake of fire. Once you're there, it's finished. I believe once you're in hell, you're finished. It says, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I do not understand how people, preachers, and I hear them on TV, they get up and say, there is no hell. A loving God wouldn't do that to his creation. Well, a loving God isn't just a loving God. He's also a God of justice and a God of judgment. If you don't believe that, read through the Old Testament and you'll find a lot of proof there. When God starts to bring the hammer down, it's judgment. And I have a feeling that we're going to see God bringing down the hammer on a lot of people that pretend that they know God and are nothing but wolf in sheep's clothing. God is going to bring judgment. We see the false prophets all over on TV. We see them on we hear them on radio talking about things that they don't even understand. What is happening there? They're trying to usurp the authority away from God. You don't do that. God has his timeline. When he says the tribulation will come, then it will come. Not before and not later. Exactly on God's timeline. How does it work? It says there's going to be a harvest. And then in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Once the harvest is over, I want something for those of us who are farmers. First, you have to have a good rain to have a half-decent crop, right? But once the harvest is over, most of us know what harvesting is. Then comes the plow, hallelujah. And you know what the plow represents? The great tribulation. The furrows are going to be deep once that plow plows through the land. When you study the book of Revelation, I do not want to be here when that plowing begins because nobody will escape it. So God wants to open our eyes to this. He wants us to see that we can escape these things. The tribulation is going to be a kindergarten picnic compared to the eternal lake of fire. I want you to know that. And God is saying, as bad as that is going to be, the lake of fire is much worse. So how does he get us out of there? He's our lifeboat. Here's our Savior. That's what it means when I ask somebody, are you saved? Well, do you mean once saved, always saved? The word saved doesn't need any help. If you're not saved, if you're going to fall off from your faith in Christ, then you're not saved. And that's it. The word saved means, has a specific meaning. It means that you're free from the slavery of Satan. I am saved. I know where I'm going. God has called me. I heard the call, and I went with him. Hallelujah. Is hell on my agenda to see yet? I hope I never see it. Maybe God will give me a glimpse of it one of these days. I don't know. I don't want to really see it because I have enough when I read. But there's a place I want to see, and there's a place I want to live in, and that is the glories of heaven. Hallelujah. Will I ever see that? I know for a fact I will. The time we spend here, the little bit of, 70, 80, 90 years, you just think back how many of your buddies have died. Once you get to be 70, you look and a lot of those buddies you had and people that you know, they're gone. Their life was a flash. It was over. Where are they now? Sometimes I think, where is that guy? Where is that guy? Well, I see him in heaven. Whether I die today or in 20, 30 years, it doesn't matter. I know my place is secured, and I'm walking on a constant basis towards that prize. Hallelujah. And that's what I want for anybody. I'm not here preaching just to have a good talk with you. I want you to be set free. I want your heart to know that you belong to God. A relationship with God by yourself will open your heart to that truth, and you will know and understand that God loves you. And once that assurance comes, nobody will take it away from you. No false prophet, no other preacher, neither life nor death. They will not take it away because God will have ingrained it and imprinted it in your heart. That's what he did with me. I'm not afraid. I'm at peace. I know the end game. Hallelujah. And the end game is awesome. We are heading in that direction, whether they're trying to stop us or not. God is going to be victor through us. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen.